Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Aidan Turner on Stardish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is May 24th, 2010. I'm your host, Joanne. Welcome, welcome. A few announcements to make. Stardish Radio will be going on a hiatus after this Thursday show. I will be relocating to South Florida from Northwest New York, and I don't expect to be back on the air fully with any new episodes until possibly August, early September. So just keep checking the website, keep checking the Facebook for updates, and you guys will be the first to know, so I really appreciate you guys hanging out with me. I have a fabulous week ahead. Michael Lowry from One Life to Live will be joining me on the 27th, which is this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to talk about One Life to Live and also this band that he belongs to, I want to say Done Dirt Cheap, a cover band that is they pay homage to AC/DC. So it's pretty cool. I've seen a few of their videos, and they're very decent. So make sure that you guys come on by and check out that particular show, since it will be the last for the summer. Now, tonight, my guest, most people will remember her best as Eileen, Al Fiance on the long-running ABC hit Home Improvement. But she's floated through films and television over the years with countless guest spots and movies. But she's here tonight to talk about a show called Lily's Light. It is a one-hour live-action family musical centered around an enchanted lighthouse foster home. She's most passionate about Lily's Light and its mission to raise awareness for the challenges facing foster children nationwide. So would you please all give me a warm Stardish welcome for the lovely Sherry Hersey. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Joanne. That was so sweet. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure. I was excited to do so.
Well, now, I've seen Lily's Light, and I've had Halvey Klein on last week, who I have to say he was one of my very first guests on the show 2 years ago, so it was a joy to talk to him and see what he was up to. You guys, where to begin with this cause, first of all? When I was researching the statistics, the number that I found, over 500,000 children in the United States currently reside in some form of foster care. Now, that number was in 2005. I can only imagine what it's risen to.
Last night, actually, Hal and I went to a really wonderful event that was to spread awareness also for National Foster Care Month, which is why Lily's Light launched this month in May. And Hal, by the way, is now a producer on Lily's Light as well. He's been working in post-production with me, and he's been a fabulous help. So he's now an associate producer on the project, and I love him to pieces. We were at an event last night for another organization that supports fostering and has made a huge difference called Fostering Imagination. And we learned the statistics have risen to 800,000 now. Unbelievable number. And my last research showed 123,000 of those children, and that's obvious, that's going to be a minimal number now as well, are waiting for placement for adoption. And there are, because out of the children that are in foster care, you know, many, many of them will be in and out because of their parents and situations that are trying to be healed and making their circumstances better, and God willing, that happens. But at the moment, there are so many children who have been basically released for adoption, and that number is staggering across our country, and people just don't know about it. You know, they just don't know that there are so many children waiting. And yeah, the organization... Go ahead.
I was going to say, because... See, this is what really irks me personally, is that, I mean, we're not all blind to the fact that there are so many children in the United States that need care and need to be adopted. Now, not for nothing, and this is just me standing on my little soapbox, I really get annoyed when I see people in Hollywood, we'll say, that go out and adopt children from other countries. I know children in other countries are just as bad off, but you know what? You live here in the United States, and with numbers like that, maybe they're slightly lower than the numbers in Korea or Russia or wherever, but you know what? You take care of your own first. That's just my opinion.
You know what? I think it has it's sad, Joanne. I mean, I'm pleased that anyone is adopting a child. Believe me, I think that, you know, every child is deserving of a nurturing and loving home, but I think it's been a lack of awareness in our country, and that is one of the reasons I'm so passionate about Lily Flight, is that people just don't know. I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to that I've talked to about the project or talked to about our mission, and we started even our own nonprofit called Lily's Fostering Hearts to promote awareness through the media. And to help organizations like the Heart Gallery of America and the Dave Thomas Foundation and other wonderful placement organizations that are trying to do their best. But they're working so hard to place the kids. There's no one out there advocating to let the public know that these kids are available. I mean, there's very few. There's a Wednesday's Child show, that program that's been on for a long time, and I applaud them. But we're doing, hopefully, you know, a series that's going to not only bridge the gap between the foster children community and the non-foster children community, I mean, so that the traditional families might consider bringing a child in and fostering and or adopting a child, and just making it more public. Hal and I did an event last night. Like I said, we're going to do another one in L.A. here in June on the Queen Mary. We're trying to do events everywhere that Lily's Light is playing, and bringing in our outreach partners to spread the word, so we can make a difference with the show. And that's where my heart is. I really think it has a lot to do with the fact that no one knows. And part of the problem, we discussed this last night, was just that there was never been any transparency in our system for these kids, because for the longest time, I think the courts believed that it was a better option to keep them hidden for their own protection. And it's become, we've changed that, you know, over the years. Organizations like Heart Gallery and some of the county services departments have really worked hard to show the courts that there are a lot of children that can handle it emotionally, that want to be adopted, that want their faces out there. So some of these professional photographers for the Heart Galleries across the country take photographs of the children that are available in our system for adoption, and they host these beautiful gallery events to show these portraits so that you can get up close and personal with these children. And that's what I think needs to happen, and just more awareness so that it becomes a cool thing. And we change the stigma, you know, for the longest time, so that these children are proud that they've had the experience that they've had and that they've had the challenges, and that we give them, you know, accolades for that.
Exactly. Now, I was reading a piece I found on the Internet from the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, and they listed some pretty horrifying statistics as what these kids go through emotionally. It says here about 30% of the children in foster care have severe emotional behavioral or developmental problems. And they're attributing this to being in foster care and bouncing from place to place to place to place, which I would imagine would take a toll on any kid.
Absolutely.
You know, physical health problems are also common, but most children, however, show remarkable resiliency and determination to go on with their lives. And
One of the things we found out, not to interrupt you, but that you're absolutely right about that, and there was an incredible child developmental psychologist that was on the panel for discussion last night who was talking about all the programs that are now coming to basically teach parenting skills. And I'm telling you, I think that, these are issues that are not just for the foster system, but also in parenting skills for traditional families as well that suffer. And I think that learning, she was talking about learning how to love a child unconditionally and showing that love, not taking things away like you can't have this or I'm taking that away, especially for a child who has issues with those boundaries of neglect or having their world turned upside down and having their parents taken away or their life or their home. And she was talking about some very simple skills, and she said it's just being conscious enough and aware enough to know that any cry that a child, you know, has, any yelling or any behavior that we don't find acceptable is just a cry for love, and educating the parents to that and knowing that, because as soon as you can provide a sense of safety, those behaviors change rapidly. And,
sure.
So that's, you know, I mean, and this is such an inspiring thing for me, as you can tell. I'm excited to be a part of making a difference with it.
Well, tell me how Lily's Light was born. Tell me the process that you went through to get this produced and up and running.
Well, it was, believe it or not, birthed many years ago now. It's been probably 8 years ago that the show, actually, the idea came to me. I was still doing home improvement. It was the middle of that, and I had been asked to work on a preschool program that was going to be on a public television as well, as sort of a Mary Poppins-type character. And in the process, I learned a lot about producing and realized that, you know, I'd been a veteran for a long time in the entertainment industry, and I knew a lot of wonderful people. And suddenly I was out marketing and doing things that I'd never done and seeing the other side of my business and seeing how it all came together. I mean, I found myself in France at one of the markets and walking into Hearst Entertainment and at the time Saban and meeting with these people, and they knew me because of shows that I'd been in as an actor. They were welcoming to me as a producer, and I sat down and learned a lot more about what was needed in the market. I also had two stepchildren that at the time I realized they only watched animation. And when I first introduced them to the live-action musical, they went crazy. I mean, they were these are real people. And I realized, gosh, we don't have any programming for our young children. And I geared Lily's Light with the help of Dr. Gordon Berry, a wonderful child developmental psychologist who was recommended to me for the first, second, and third grade educational, those early childhood developmental years, because there wasn't really any programming for that age that wasn't animated. And he, you know, it's a language arts program, and it also sort of celebrates the modern and classical musical theater. And in the process of developing it, a friend of mine, Georgia Simon, that I work with a lot in voice work, introduced me to Art Klein, who happens to be Hal B. Klein's father. And Art had just done, he had just produced Marilyn Hotchkiss, the film Marilyn Hotchkiss Ballroom Dancing. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. It was adorable. And he had done a program for children many years before, teaching some of the same social life lessons that we have in Lily's Light. And he was very intrigued with it and got back to me very quickly. We bonded. He loved the program. He loved what I wanted to do with it. And he came on board as the executive producer. He's an amazing man and a real angel at heart, and gave us the wings to do it. I went back home to my home state, which I have to clarify is South Carolina, by the way. I was officially born in North Carolina. I saw that on your interview.
Okay, yes.
Some of my friends from South Carolina already asked me, how come it says North Carolina? Well, I was officially born in North Carolina, but I only resided there for 6 months. My dad was
And then I
moved to South Carolina, where I grew up, which is why I went back to public television there at SCETV and spoke to Polly Costco, who is the executive in charge of national programming there, SCETV, and she mentored me and guided me through this. It feels really amazing to me because South Carolina is really my home, and they awarded me with a star on the Walk of Fame in Myrtle Beach about 5 or 6 years ago, which was a very great honor to me, and having them be our presenting station for National Public Television has been really wonderful. So that, you know, it developed for a couple of years, and then once Art came on board, we actually shot a half hour of the program. Polly at SCTV loved it so much, she suggested we shoot another half hour to have a full-length special. And so we went back and shot another half hour, another learning process. And and we put it together, and we all decided to launch it for National Foster Care Month. And it's kind of spreading across the country. It's coming to L.A. next month, and a couple of the stations here in L.A. are going to air it throughout the summer. So it's kind of spreading now out until August so far.
Well, I watched it, and as I had said to Hal, and what you just said, there really aren't any animation, live-action shows for the kids nowadays, and everything is animation. But so I think that aspect is really grabbing. And I showed it to my son, who's 9, with some of his friends, and they all loved it because they're real people. You know, they loved it. They're real people. They can identify, and they become kind of like emotionally attached to the characters, you know, and it was nice to see that, you know, whereas, you know, Phineas and Ferb just don't do it for you, you know. It's like, really, you know, it's a cute cartoon, but how many of us really build all these things in our backyard? This is realistic, you know?
Thank you. You know, it brings back a lot of things that were important to me as a kid. I mean, I was addicted to the Wonderful World of Disney and watching those shows with my family at night, and Flipper and Mr. Ed. I'm aging myself, but that's the truth.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
The kids, my kids were so cute. They said, in the beginning, I said, should I animate the mouths of the pig? We have a potbelly pig and a pelican.
Yeah,
you know, and they said, no, that's what everybody does in commercials. Don't do that. So we fed them popcorn and peanut butter and the things that you do, and they talked.
Right.
And actually, we never intended for the pelican to speak. But we had two pelicans that were named Archie and Edith, and the female pelican flapped and flapped and flapped, so we ended up having to put words in her mouth.
The live action part I really enjoy. I mean, I don't know if you would consider it live action or not, but like when my oldest son, he's 17 now, in his day, it was Barney. There was no real animation.
Right.
I mean, Barney was, you know, there was, but there wasn't. You know what I mean? And it was more shows like Barney, and he was more into the Sesame Street kind of stuff. But now, like with my little one, you know, it's all about Cartoon Network, and which isn't even Cartoon Network anymore. You know, after a certain time, you got to turn it off. Kids can't watch it, so it becomes Adult Swim, which I find a little ridiculous. But you know, my son prefers real people over cartoons any day.
Well,
I think most children do.
Listen, I say my prayers to Sherry Lewis and Mr. Rogers, and I have Captain Kangaroo, and I say, please help me. you know, and Walt, really, I say, please help me bring back, you know, mentors and role models for kids to help them get tools to know how to make good choices in the world. And yeah. Aside from the fostering aspect, and yes, it takes place in an Enchanted Lighthouse foster home, and yes, Lily, the character I play, is a foster mom, and I hope to be a role model for caregivers out there. But it's also it's about developing it's about imagination. I mean, the lighthouse is enchanted because it has the ability to illuminate our imagination and take us on an adventure.
Right.
And that's I think that's the aspect of the show itself that I love the most, is that the kids can use their imagination and know that even though circumstances may be beyond their control at times, nothing's beyond their heart, and they can always change the way they see things. And I hope it's a tool to empower children everywhere. That's my
dream. Absolutely. Do we have any new dates when it's going to be airing, or what is the website that we need to be checking?
Lilieslight.com, LilliesLight.com, Lilieslight.com, and there's a calendar on there. And as I get the updates each week, we're just going to add them to the calendar. Yes, there's some at the end of May and the beginning of June, and there's also airings in July, all the way to August now. So I just got a new list today, and I'll be updating it, so probably check it tomorrow, and there should be some new dates.
And
leave me a message. Lily's Light is, we have a Facebook page. I'm not sure if it's finished yet. We had someone fixing it up for us, but it is there, and you can go to it and you know, and like it. I guess that's what you do.
I did do that, and you share it, and everybody share and get the likes in there, the DVD can be purchased also soon, right?
Yes, it will be. We're going to be doing it on the website, and it'll lead you to a link that goes to SCETV, and they'll be placing the orders and sending them out. But you can right now, you can go on lilieslight.com and just sign into the guest book and let me know if you would like a DVD or a CD. The CDs are going to be available shortly also.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. So what else are you working on besides Lily's Light? Anything coming up new for you?
Boy, at the moment, this is kind of taking up all of my time. But I still do a lot of voice work, and have a couple of new ideas in the back of my mind that I'm wanting to put together, one of which is with Rick Karn. I've spoken to him recently, who played Al on Home Improvement with me, and I have an idea for a new reality show for the two of us, and I'm hoping that will get off the ground once we get, you know, Lily's Light manageable, which maybe
be nice.
Never.
I hope, you know what, it's going to go on forever. I can see that. This is going to be like one of those things where, you know, like I said, when my son was a baby, the 17-year-old, there was Barney. But you know what? When I had my 9-year-old, I still had those tapes. These things are going to go on. You know, so my 9-year-old still has the tapes from 1992, you know. So it definitely will go on. Now,
I love you for that.
Oh, you know what? Look, it's real. And I'm just one of those people, if I don't believe in it and somebody says, Joanne, you want to talk about this? I have to say no. So, you know, the fact that you're here and we're talking, I believe in it.
I love you. Thank you.
You know, I'm just not one of those fake hosts that say, oh, I'll take that just because I want to guess. No, I do believe in it, and it's definitely a worthwhile, worthy cause. But I also want to mention to everybody, you know, if you didn't know, Home Improvement is also airing now. They have you guys on TV Land every night. They do like a marathon on TV Land. I'm not sure to what episode they're up to because it's a little past my bedtime when they're on. But my son actually just started watching it. So that's another kind of generational thing that the kids get into with TV Land. So I'm sure your episodes will be coming on up there soon.
Yeah, they're still on here 2 times a day. I think we still have Home Improvement reruns. And the other show that I did that has repeatedly aired is Bring It On, the movie with Kirsten Dunst.
Saturday.
You did?
It was on TBS, I think it was. And, me and my son watched it on Saturday because I remember he asked me when he was, like, 4 years old, can I watch this? Because my older son was into it. And I was like, no, you can't. He said, well, Mom, I'm 9 now. Can I watch it now? I was like, yeah, right now you can watch.
Well, there was a little bit. It was a little bit racier when it was out in the movie theaters, but they've put it on the Disney Channel. They'll sometimes have marathons of Bring It On, and I aside from doing the on-camera first episode, first movie with Kirsten, I did voice work in the second one. So it's always fun for me when it comes on a marathon.
Yeah. Well, usually on TV Land, there's at least 8 episodes that run a night on TV Land.
Wow.
That's runs great. Throughout the night. I think it starts at like 11 p.m. or 10 p.m., something like that. So that's pretty awesome. I love going back to watching the shows that I used to watch, you know, in my day, as they say.
Oh, yeah. I have people call me every once in a while, see something really old that I was in, like Mary Tyler Moore or... Rhoda, and they'll say, was that you that I saw with blah, blah, blah? Back when my hair was, when I would not wear my hair naturally curly and I would blow it out, try to make it straight, and it would just be frizzy. Yeah.
I had to look twice and Bring It On because I knew you were in it, but without the curly hair, I honestly didn't recognize you.
It's true. When I straightened my hair out, it looked like a different person.
No, I didn't recognize you at all. I had to look again. I was like, that is her. What am I? I was like, I know she's here. It's her, of course.
But
hair
once my hair
is a trademark for us women.
It is. And once my hair came out of the closet in the 80s, I did not want to go back. It was like, you know, up until the 80s, I was hiding that hair. I was hiding it. You know, growing up in
beautiful.
The South.
I love curly hair. You know, you don't know. So many people would kill to have that hair, you know. My girlfriend has hair
that
the same way.
I didn't feel that way as a child in the Southeast with this, you know, when there were no gels and mousses. It
That's
was that.
I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Oh, gosh. Well, Sherry, I can't tell you. It's been an amazing experience talking with you. And please keep me updated on what's going on with Lily's Light and with you. And when I do come back from my hiatus, I want to hear more about what's going on. And how we're progressing. I mean, I definitely want to be a part of this with you guys.
Thank you, sweetie. I really appreciate that, Jillian. Have a wonderful time.
Oh, thank you so much. I don't know how much wonderful it could be by moving, but, yeah, I'll do my best. We're relocating from Buffalo to Fort Lauderdale, so.
That could be fun. You'll have a chance to go to Key West.
I lived in Florida for 13 years. That's the ridiculous thing. I moved from Fort Lauderdale to be here. And now, 2 years ago, and now we're going back because Buffalo's just not doing it for me. But I can't handle the weather anymore. So it's going to be a chore, but, yeah, it's good.
We'll look forward to having you back up and running.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Sherry, before I let you go, can I get you to do a small promotion? Like, hi, this is Sherry Hersey on Star Dish Radio.
Absolutely.
Just whenever you're ready, I'm recording right now.
Hi, this is Sherry Hersey on Star Dish Radio.
Perfect. Sherry, stay in touch. Best to you and Hal. Tell everybody hello. And congratulations on the success of Lily's Light.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, everyone, make sure you come back on Thursday, the 27th, with the amazing Michael Lowry from One Life to Live. Will be joining me. Until then, we'll talk to you soon.
This is Antonio Sabato, Jr., and you're listening to Star Dish Radio.